Philadelphia, are you ready?
No, he said, are you ready?
This is Brotherly Love Wrestling Podcast, your first stop for everything professional wrestling. So sit back and enjoy wrestling talk at its finest with your hosts, Larry Hall and Joe Corrado.
Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Brotherly Love Wrestling Podcast. And there is so much happening. We're going to be covering everything of this past weekend, not just WWE, but Ring of Honor, NWA, and everything in between. And we're going to start off with This Week in Wrestling. And I think at some point my co-host is going to speak. Or not. Okay, so let's start right in. Ring of Honor, Final Battle, their biggest pay-per-view of the year. Typically their biggest pay-per-view of the year and the one that ends the year. And it actually was a very, very good pay-per-view. I haven't really watched or kept up with Ring of Honor like we were maybe a year or so ago. And I thought they put on a great show and started off right on the pre-show with Cobb versus Math. It was insane. And two guys that can really go at it. And the hard-hitting style, two big guys. And it was impressive, some of the things that they could pull off.
Yeah, I didn't watch the show, so this is all you.
Okay.
Have at it, Slugger. I'll just nod in approval.
Well, a couple things we'll touch on. I'm not going to go over every match and say how good it was. But there are a couple things. Shane Taylor had what looks like his last match in Ring of Honor against Dragon Lee. Also dropping the television title, and he's been at Ring of Honor for a while now, and he's a mainstay. So to have his contract up now, obviously you don't know where he's going to sign, but he's a very big talent for Ring of Honor.
Yeah, he was their television champion. I mean, I know it's hard to say, but I don't feel like they used him to his full potential. Like, I feel like he could have been bigger than he was there. I just feel like Ring of Honor is so fucking backwards that it's like an amazement. They have a good amount of talent that they just don't know what to do with.
Yeah, and not only that, just looked at, now don't get me wrong, I think PCO is a marvel at what he can do. But him, I don't know if it's just them giving him the title just so he can say he's a world champion, but PCO beating Rush, I don't know. It's booking a 51-year-old as your world champion. Yeah, it's a great story for him, his comeback and getting back into professional wrestling. But I don't know. I feel like he should be enhancing talent.
I don't think that it's going to be a long tenure as champion.
Yeah,
I can't say it. You know what? I can't say that because I really don't know how Ring of Honor books things. When I watch. Yes, there are some good matches, but I really feel like because they don't run a weekly program, They do house shows and then random pay-per-views, so it's harder to keep up with their quote-unquote storylines, so I don't know. I can't tell what way they're going to book anything. I will say this, we went to Final Battle Fallout at the 2300 Arena, old ECW Arena, ECW. And today, I really had no thoughts on it. Like, it didn't even feel like we went to a show last night.
It didn't resonate with you. It was a good show when we were there.
It was a good, yeah.
But it didn't stick with you.
It held my interest. There were some really good wrestling matches. But when I look back on it, I'm like, well, it was good. It could also have been that it was Sunday, and it was just like felt weird to be out at a wrestling event that wasn't like a big WWE event.
Yeah.
But, you know, Alex Shelley and John Gresham had a really good match. Flip Gordon had a good match with, I forget his name.
Ray Horace?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So he had a good match. And the villain and PCO versus Cobb and Math, as the main event.
That was very good, too. Yeah.
And you can tell who the crowd shows up for. Like, you could tell who the moneymakers are for Ring of Honor. Like, they're there to see Marty.
Yes.
They're there to see Flip. The Briscoes still get a really great ovation from the crowd. But other than that, it's really hard to tell. I mean, we didn't get to see Taven, so, I mean, Taven's usually either being booed or cheered.
Mm-hmm.
He still gets a good response from the crowd. But, I mean, it was a fun show, but it wasn't anything to write home about.
Yeah, I agree. And I think...
And that's not a snub. It's just how I feel. It just wasn't...
It's middle of the road. Middle of the road is basically where it was. The one thing, like you were saying, with the booking with Ring of Honor is they changed the title holders on the entire pay-per-view. Every title changed hands. The TV title, the tag title, the world title, all of them changing hands. So, does that mean they're in a new direction? They have these talent leaving, and maybe it's time to start moving forward? But, I mean, you're moving forward, your world champion's 51 years old.
Yeah, he's going to move forward, but then he'll move backwards. I mean, he'll have trouble getting up. You know, he might have to help him use the remote, help him find the toilet, you know, wipe his ass for him. I mean, but he'll go forward sometimes.
But this was, well, Friday was the villain's last contractual obligation, and he's done with Ring of Honor.
But he was there Sunday to fill out some, I guess.
I guess just to help the company out. He is a free agent, so he could kind of do whatever he wants.
Yeah, I think he's working by event. Like, he'll get paid by event. I can only imagine what that price is.
Yeah, yeah. So he's out there on free agency. So then on Saturday, we have NWA, Into the Fire.
Into the Fire.
Yes.
You know where we're going. We're walking head first into the fire. I should be a jingle guy. I should be jingle all the way.
This Dasher, is
Dancer,
not...
Prancer, Vixen, Comet, Cupid, Donna, Blitzen. I can do this all day.
This is the second time in like three episodes you've done that exact same thing.
Into the fire.
Not into the fire.
Into the fire.
The jingle all the way thing.
Oh, Dasher, Dancer, Prancer, yeah, exactly. Vixen, Comet, Cupid, Donna, Blitzen. I can do this all day.
I swear to God, it's not a rerun. We are actually recording this in a new episode.
On a different date.
Yeah. But to talk about NWA, one of Joe's favorite wrestlers of all time, actually got a title win on Saturday night.
He looks bad.
He does. He's very out of shape.
He looks like he belongs in the 80s. Like, he's like just stepped out of like working the day shift as a plumber and went to the ring. He's like, all right, I wrestle on the side.
And this guy we're talking about is Aaron Stevens, a.k.a. Damien Sandow. But now known as Shooter. Did you see this?
No.
He wants to be called Shooter Stevens now.
Shooter Stevens.
Yes.
I don't know.
But he beat Colt Cabana and Ricky Starks for the national champion.
Speaking of which, Colt Cabana, now we'll backtrack a little bit. His last contractual date with Ring of Honor was apparently Saturday as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he's done with NWA also. And I guess we'll touch on the rest in another segment.
Some other notes from Into the Fire Rock and Roll
Into
Express.
Into the Fire!
Retained their tag titles against the Wild Cards. And the last piece of news.
That last piece of shit.
Nick Aldis beat James Storm in the 2 out of 3 falls match.
I picked Storm, damn it.
To retain his world championship, but the bigger story coming out of NWA, and probably the story that got all the news over the weekend, is the villain appears at the end of Into the Fire, has a stare down with Aldis.
They have some history.
Yes, a little bit. And the internet lost their damn minds. Everyone was like, this sucks. I'm so disappointed. He's not going to AEW. I can't stand the knee-jerk reaction from social media with stuff like this, especially because, God forbid, he's not going to AEW, and it's in concrete. I don't get it.
I don't have a theory, but I have a scenario. I don't care what people think. They can think whatever the hell they want. They're entitled to their opinion. If they want to get fired up that prematurely that Marty's not in AEW, so be it. Get fired up. Get pissed off. Show your passion. Anyway, I have a scenario of how I want things to go with Marty. He was never deemed as the number one, the true number one guy in any of the promotions. He was never quote unquote heavyweight material.
Yes.
He never won the big one in ROH. He's going to face Aldis possibly for the NWA title. I don't want him to beat Aldis because I still want him to be not good enough to win the big one. And I do want him not to go to NXT, not to WWE. I want him to go to AEW. I want him to be a surprise. I want the lights to go out. I want the whoop whoop to hit him, stare down Jericho. I want him to be the one to dethrone Jericho and finally prove that he is able to win the big one. Because I don't think that AEW right now, besides Moxley, maybe you could throw in Omega, but the way he's been booked is kind of topsy-turvy. Pac a little bit up and down. So Moxley's like your number one. But I don't see anyone else really beating Jericho.
Yeah, I like that idea. I like Villain actually going to
You bring him in right Impact. Away and you skyrocket him to the top. Now, and look, Marty is great at promos. He's really entertaining in the ring.
Very.
He's great at communicating with the crowd and getting over with the crowd. He will translate well to that show. And he's another character which AEW has a good amount of.
Yeah, I want him to go to Impact. I want him and I want Matt Hardy both to go to Impact. I want to build Impact back up. I want it to get the credit that it deserves and the roster that is there. I want them to get the credit that they deserve. And I think you pulling a Villain and pulling broken Matt Hardy.
I think Matt Hardy going back to Impact after all that crazy shit that he went through to get the broken character from Impact, it would be funny if he went back, but I don't see it. He loves working with the Young Bucks.
Yeah.
The Bucks of Youth.
Yeah. I don't know.
Matt Hardy on AEW on being owner of the Broken Universe? That
I just don't trust their production value yet. I don't trust it yet.
No, but with a mind like Matt Hardy's and his mind is able to be utilized to full potential.
Well, yeah, I mean, but you can do that on Impact, and I understand what you're saying with the history, but I don't know. There's something about AEW still that they lack on the production value, and they're still new. I'm not holding this against them, but I don't know. I know Impact can do it at least, and Matt, that partnership has worked, so that doesn't worry me. That it's
but I feel
AEW
like
that
more
worries.
Eyes will be on it.
Oh, for sure, with absolutely, AEW. Absolutely. I completely agree. Definitely
I
more.
I feel
eyes.
Like it'll be appreciated more with that new crowd.
Yeah. You're probably right. Yeah.
And he's already done. I don't want to see him go back and do something that he's already done. I want to see him do something new now.
Yeah.
And having full reign on live television seems like such a better fit.
Yeah, that's for sure.
But Marty, I won't denounce Marty going to Impact because it would stray away from the theory that, oh, Impact's only going to get ex-WWE guys because that's always what they get.
Yeah.
Now, getting a Marty Scurll, who's actually part of the Elite, and making him top priority over there would be interesting. I don't think that's the route he's going to go.
No, I don't think so.
Throw him a shit ton of money. But I think he just wants to. I mean, his only reason for going to NXT, not his only reason, but his biggest reason I feel would be because his girlfriend's there. And they live in Florida, and it's right there.
Yeah, I mean, not only that, and if a part of them always wanted to wrestle in WWE.
Yeah.
Like every other
Which I'm
young
pretty sure
wrestler.
He said before.
Yeah, so.
But he also has now these sense. Really good, his best friends now work for another company.
Yes. Yeah. Now, it's going to be a hard decision. I don't know. I mean, God, maybe not that
fucking,
hard a decision.
Imagine the shots that they would send Marty's way.
Oh, my God. Well, anyway, let's move on to rumors. Look at all these rumors. All right, so I got two minor stories for rumors.
Oh, only minor?
Yeah. Not real big news, but... And this one is not official yet, but that's why it's in the rumor mill, is John Silver, who we had on the show.
Yes,
we did. Alex Reynolds. Apparently
who didn't have on the show.
No, he did not.
Who actually owes me a knife-edge chop.
He does. Man, how many events have we gone to since he's owed you that?
He's already forgotten. Yeah. Now he's big time, so yeah, now I'll never get it.
So, yes, Alex Reynolds and John Silver have signed with AEW. Per the report, nothing has come out.
Well, they did get a vignette.
They did. Yes, they did. And obviously they had their match as well.
You don't just give jobbers vignettes. You give talent vignettes.
That's true. So hopefully this is more substantial than just a rumor. But the official announcement, of course, we haven't
seen
yet.
They were in the Being the Elite this past, I think it was today that it was released.
Yeah.
So they were on that episode of Being the Elite. You don't let the jobbers get on Being the Elite. You let the talent get on Being the Elite.
Yes, you're very right. And the second one I have is that a new United States title is apparently going to be released very soon.
Like tonight?
They didn't say. It just said soon, so we could see it tonight. I don't know. But apparently someone who was a part of the belt-making process reported that the belt was delivered to WWE, but couldn't comment on what it looked like.
I mean, if it's anything like their past designs, it's going to look like shit. And well, it's going to be a slap in the face.
The Intercontinental title went over pretty well.
I'm not... I love the old design.
I do, too.
I love it.
I agree.
I do not... I don't like this one as much as I like that.
But compared to the other titles, it's one of their better-looking titles. That and the women's tag titles.
Well, they just put big W's on everything.
Yeah. But these ones look a lot better.
They should get away from the big fucking W's.
Well, we'll see. That, I guess, whenever soon it happens, that's when we'll see this new title. So, I mean, but like I said, that's it. I'm done with rumors.
Damn.
That quickly.
Oh, wait. I'll throw in a rumor.
Okay. Go ahead.
We were talking about Colt Cabana earlier.
We were, yes.
How he is contractually done with ROH, and I believe the same as NWA. Maybe not yet, but close to.
Mm-hmm.
Rumor is that AEW will be announcing 3 announcements this week.
Yes.
And one of the rumors is that Colt Cabana will be joining AEW, which would make sense because he was in All In, All Out. He was on those shows.
Do we know as a superstar?
I believe so.
A wrestler? Okay. Okay.
Yeah, he's still.
I know there's a commentary spot he could fill if they really need to.
Oh, my God, is there a commentary spot he could fill? Get JR the fuck out. Get King and get JR the fuck. If there was anything that I wanted to disappear from the Attitude Era, it's
them
that.
Too. Yeah.
It's them.
Yeah, I agree.
They're done. They're not needed, nor are they really wanted.
No.
Their time is up.
No, all the AEW fans, they can try and protect and hold him dear all they want. He's not good.
Just,
no, he's not good at all. Not even close.
He's not good.
No.
He can't. And King is guilty as this, maybe more than JR. They're not invested in their talent.
No.
They don't know who the fuck they're talking about. If it's not Cody, if it's not Jericho, if it's not Moxley, and I'm sure he wants to call him Ambrose.
Yeah.
King literally called Asuka Kabuki Warrior number 1 or number 2.
Yeah.
That's how he referred to us. Yep. They don't care.
No, not at all.
King was good at saying puppies.
Yeah.
And that's it. He wasn't good at anything else.
No, he wasn't.
He's an asshat.
He was the color. That's all he was there for.
And JR, time has gone by and he hasn't gotten any better.
No.
He's aged like a dog turd.
How do they age?
I'm pretty sure not good.
Okay, good. So let's move on now to WWE, still controlling This Week in Wrestling. And they have 2 announcements, both concerning NXT. They announced actually earlier today, on Monday, if you're listening to this on a different day, that they are having Cole versus Balor open up the show on Wednesday and commercial free.
I'll play off of that because AEW also made an announcement commercial free. They'll be airing the Lucha Brothers versus Kenny Omega and Adam Page will be their kickoff match, and that will run commercial free. So the first half hour of both show will run commercial free.
Well, I mean that's no contest. I'm watching Balor Cole.
Yeah, I mean, not only that, it's a main title.
Yeah, it's a main title, and it's a storyline to be invested in. Not
it
just
is a good match. It's a good counter match. Anytime you get Phoenix and Omega in the ring, or Pentagon and Omega in the ring, it's magic. I mean, but it's a tag match.
Yeah, yeah, they're limited at what they were going what they can do. I'm not saying
sure
that's going to be a bad match.
Incredible, but there's an actual story going on NXT,
and that's what is going to draw me. Is I'm invested in this story. Throwing these four together, yeah, it's going to be a good match, of course, but it's not going. I'm not going to be as invested, so I'm going to go with the storytelling over just the talent that's going to be in the ring. And then the second NXT note is that WWE announced NXT TakeOver Portland for the first time ever, doing a takeover in Portland on Sunday, February.
Portland, Maine or Portland, Oregon? You don't have that information, do you?
No, I just wrote down NXT Portland. TakeOver Portland.
God damn it.
I didn't even see the lettering.
It's either on one side of the country or the other.
Wait, you mean there's a difference? There's two of them?
Yes, there's two Portlands.
Oh,
there's about a million Springfields, but there's two Portlands that I know of. And you don't even know which Portland it is. So right now, both... God damn it, I'm hitting shit. Both Portlands are very angry at us right now because we cannot decipher which Portland they will be in.
I'll tell you what. It's from the... I'm sorry, I can't keep it together now. The Moda Center at the Rose Quarter in Portland.
What the fuck
does
that
mean? People from Portland should know where the fuck that is.
Which Portland?
I don't know.
What was it called? The Manitoba Rosa?
Well, it's Moda, M-O-D-A.
The Moda Rosa?
Moda Center at the Rose Quarter.
Oh, God. Yeah. I can't even tell which Portland that sounds like.
I know. You're telling me.
Oh, boy.
I know.
Did you shit the bed on this one?
I hope people know what we're actually talking about.
And you just tell me what we're talking about.
And actually know the Portland we're talking about and know more than we know. Because obviously, I just forgot that little detail of I don't know, those last two letters, the things that are state
the
there?
Things that make you go,
they're on the address? Yeah.
The things that make you go,
It's Portland, Oregon.
It's Portland, Oregon, ladies and gentlemen. We just got word from the pigeon carrier that it is Portland, Oregon, on the West Coast, not the East Coast. Sorry, Maine, you suck again. Oregon, you did big things. The Manitoba Rosa Kenoja in Portland, Oregon. That's where who's going to be there?
Oh, man. NXT TakeOver.
NXT TakeOver in Portland, Oregon.
Sunday, February 16th.
Ah, there
you go. On the WWE
Network.
First
time in Oregon.
Portland, Oregon. Make sure. We don't want to be
confused. Any other part of Oregon they're going to be in. And I think that's a safe bet.
That's a very safe bet. So why don't you move on to TLC, because I'm done. I'm completely done.
NLTLCLBL.
You're the rest of the episode.
You're done? You tapped out?
I'm tapping out. I can't do it anymore. I quit.
So mark this down on your calendars. December 16th, 2019, before the new year. Larry has given up. I have finally got him to his breaking point. And I have broken him. Yes! He's finally been deemed obsolete! So TLC was, with a little bit of, and a side of, I didn't think it was a good pay-per-view. The whole weekend I forgot there was a pay-per-view. Sunday came around, we were getting ready to go to Ring of Honor, and I'm like, oh, fuck, there's a pay-per-view tonight. That's how much I cared about it to go into it, which could have swayed my opinion on it to begin with. I wasn't overly invested. We talked last week about it. Couldn't tell you what we talked about because, again, I didn't really care. They didn't really get me invested in this pay-per-view. It's a gimmick pay-per-view. I knew there wasn't going to be too much besides some fucking brutal spots, which there were. But, I mean, the card was, oh, I don't know, the tag titles, which we've seen a million fucking times between the New Day and the Revival. So, there was that. We had Aleister Black, Buddy Murphy, which delivered. Really good match. Probably match of the night. You had Rusev and fucking Lashley in a tables match. That's what we signed up for. That's what we wanted to see. We wanted to see the payoff. But it really wasn't even a payoff. So now we gotta see more of it. That's fucking garbage. Then you get Corbin and Roman, and that turned into a big clusterfuck, so good job there. I mean, I'm giving you all the important details of this banner of a pay-per-view. What the interesting parts then came with Bray Wyatt, The Miz. Miz hangs for probably about 8 to 10 minutes. Puts up a good fight, then gets fucking destroyed. And Bray Wyatt's not done with him yet. He pulls out an obnoxiously sized mallet.
Looks like something Krusty the Clown would have on Simpsons.
On steroids?
Yeah.
And lights go out. He said, he's here! He's here! I think he's talking about The Fiend.
Yeah, I think so too.
It would have been interesting if they went that route and someone else came out as The Fiend.
Bo Dallas?
Sure, yeah, that would have been really interesting. Bo Dallas as The Fiend. Maybe with the Bo train around the ring, yeah. As The Fiend. That would have single-handedly destroyed
it would have.
Everything that Bray has done. It still would have been funny, though.
Would have been funny. But anyway.
It would have been funny until we had to read all the fucking tweets about it, being like, this is abomination to wrestling. I can't believe it. I knew they were going to mess it up. Oh, God. Why are my fingertips sticking to my keyboard? God. Ah, I have tissues all over my screen. I can't believe it. This is an abomination. My goodness.
Teenage masturbation innuendo. I love it. Keep going.
Who said anything about teenage, you weirdo? Jesus. Get your head out of your ass. God almighty. It's not that type of show. You sick fuck. Anyway.
Lights go out.
A hooded man appears, and he does a running kick. Hiya! Knocks over Bray Wyatt, and I wonder who it is. It's Daniel Bryan. It's Daniel Bryan from 10 years ago. Back, the Red Dragon. It's funny, now that anybody who's had any interaction or match with Bray Wyatt has gone back to a former persona.
True,
We pretty much have, without saying it, Bullet Club Finn Balor in NXT. We have heel Seth Rollins is back.
Yes.
And now we have circa 2009 Daniel Bryan.
Yeah.
Shaved up. Look, he literally looks like he did 10 years ago.
If he wouldn't have the scruff, he'd really look like it.
He has
the baby face to be.
He somehow hasn't aged.
Yeah, no, not at all.
He went from Robin Williams to the kid that played Robin Williams in Jumanji. All in one night. Or three weeks.
I gotta give it to you. That was some pretty quick thinking. I didn't know where you were going with that one. That was really good.
Thank you. So that was probably your highlight, I would say, of the night.
I think so. Of the pay-per-view, period.
But you have the main event. You have for some reason, they have the tag team. I mean, not some reason. They're pushing the women. This is the second pay-per-view in a row that they've main evented. And it was a TLC-style match for the tag titles. It was not a good match. There was some cool, spots that they had. Like the Kairi Sane coming out from under the ring and spraying them with the fire extinguisher.
Yep.
Tying up Becky Lynch.
Lynch was probably my favorite spot of the match.
Yeah, it was an old-time movie. Like, they were tying her up on the train tracks.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool. And I like how the rope came back into play and she pulled it out from under her.
I agree.
But that's maybe 3 minutes of a match that went about a half hour. And there was a lot that went wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Someone got injured, which puts a damper on the tag titles. Charlotte Flair and Becky Lynch didn't look sharp. They didn't look sharp at all. I mean, I don't think that they put together... I think it was a clusterfuck of a match.
Yeah, I agree.
It might have told a story, but I don't think it told the right story.
And probably not the story that they wanted to get across either, for that matter. But yeah, that definitely fell short. I feel like The Fiend and Miz was the best part of the pay-per-view. The Buddy Murphy and Alistair was great.
Wrestling-wise, I think that was the best match.
Now, I have one. See, to keep the story, this whole storyline going and keep Aleister Black wrestling at least is... All right, so I don't know if you've seen
come
the match.
Come knock on our door.
On
someone's waiting for you.
The pre-show.
It's a thing and a thing and a thing. Three's Company too.
Okay, exactly. So
wouldn't that be... Oh, we should do that. We should fucking dub in some Three's Company for Aleister Black's Come and Knock on My Door, featuring Brotherly Love Wrestling worldwide.
I assume you didn't watch Carrillo versus Andrade.
No, I missed the pre-match.
Okay,
I skipped it, which I shouldn't have.
Anyway, Andrade blames Zelina Vega and leaves her... And walks away from her, and she posts.
I know where you're going with this.
She posts a Twitter picture of crying and her makeup all messed up.
Aw.
So now you have
Aleister Black
and them acknowledging that they're married, they're a couple, and he's now going to destroy.
And then Zelina's going to end up cheating on fucking Aleister with Lashley.
I was going to say with Buddy Murphy. Then you can bring Buddy Murphy into it. But
back in the, no more fucking cuckold goddamn angles. I'm sick and tired of it.
No, that wasn't. Wouldn't have been a part of it. But no, just to get Andrade versus Aleister Black and get that program going, I would love that.
It would be something for both of them to do.
Yeah. And you know you'd get top-notch matches out of
it. Yeah, I just don't like involving Zelina in it that way. I get it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's usually their go-to, but I just...
Well, not only that, they already have that storyline. They already have that storyline going on, so it probably wouldn't happen that way.
Which I'm good with.
Yeah.
But I just want to see them wrestle. Someone does need to knock on that door, because Alistair's waiting for you. It's a thing and a thing and a thing. Three's Company to...
Okay, let's go to our next segment.
Which is
things that make you go.
Things that make you go,
All right, so things that make you go,
What made you go, this week, Lar?
So this one actually comes out of AEW.
Uh-oh.
And
things make you go, over there.
It comes from Cody.
Mm-mm.
Because, obviously, there's been the shots fired back and forth, and fans arguing back and forth, WWE, AEW.
Fans arguing?
Yes, I know. It's very, very rare.
Get the fuck out of here. Dude,
I know.
That never happens.
I know. But Cody came out this week and said that he wants to kind of... tone that down a little bit, and it starts with him, and he feels like he is the reason to blame with the whole sledgehammer to the throne thing, and he said that their fan base, AEW fan base, needs to make better efforts to get along, and that starts at the top. He said, I can go ahead and say that, and a lot of things can get screwed up, but at the end of the day, if I was in the room with Triple H, I'd walk over to him, give him a handshake and a hug, because... he's learned so much from Triple H, and that he respects him, and now he's on that side of the business that Triple H is. So, I mean, it made me go,
Did it?
Because...
is that why
it's exactly what that fans need to hear. That this is not a blood feud. This is not a war.
Supposed to be fun.
And that's what wrestling's supposed to be. Stop making it more than it has to be. It's two companies. Yeah, are they on the same time and battling for ratings? Yes. But there's a lot of people who are friends in this industry.
Not only that, but it's a business.
Yes.
First and foremost, it's a business. It's there to make the people money.
Yeah.
The people in charge are going to make money off of this. So, yeah, you want it to jockey for position as you want to be this new up-and-coming company. So you want to go up against what has been one of the most bread and butter aspects of WWE? This is a smart move.
And not only that, let me ask you this. If Cody would have came out when they started everything and their first pay-per-view, if he would have came out and he cut a promo and he said, I just want to start everything by saying thank you to WWE and thank you to Triple H. They've been helping me for my career.
The fans would have hated it.
Exactly. But what would the fans eat up? Who? Maybe I can make up a revenge thing to where I hate Hunter and I'm just going to blast him. Our fans would love that. Like, Cody is very, very intelligent. You got to remember who his father is and who his older brother is. He knows what he's doing, but at the end of the day, like he said, Triple H has done a lot for him. So I hope that fans can at least listen, AEW fans can listen to Cody and kind of bring it back a little bit and look at...
That goes on both ends, too.
Absolutely. WWE fans can be just as bad. Too. Absolutely. I'm not saying they're not. Absolutely. But the reason I said AEW fans, because Cody said... It has to start with him and then the fans as well.
Now he's going to be the bigger man.
Yeah, absolutely.
And he's got the position to do that because WWE isn't going to take... They're not going to take anything out of their... They're not going to draw eyes away from them and mention someone else. Although Sami Zayn did do it once.
Yes.
And hasn't been in the ring since.
Yeah, very true.
What's going on with him?
I don't know.
Seriously, what the fuck? He was like... He was over. Over
big time
in a big, big way, especially in NXT and then coming to the main roster. He was over. They just never. We should make the end of the year list of the dropped ball, like who they had, who was over. We can probably do this now while I'm bullshitting. We can just put the top 10, maybe in no particular order, but the 10 most.
Okay.
Didn't get the deserving push.
All right, yeah.
Sami Zayn, Samoa Joe.
EC3.
EC3?
I don't think he got... more
towards the top, but go ahead.
But yeah, no, you said no particular order, so I was just kind of throwing a name out. That's three of them right there.
I'd say Gallows and Anderson.
Yeah. I could... I mean... If you're going to say Gallows and Anderson, do you give the Ascension? Did they ever get any?
Maybe, they were never over, though.
True. Okay, I'll give you that one. Yeah, you're right.
That's why I'm struggling with EC3 because he never got the opportunity to even get over.
That's true. Yeah, I didn't think about that when I said EC3. I just know he's one of the most wasted opportunities that they had.
Yeah, but someone that they had and someone who was operating on all cylinders that. Just kept falling short. Cesaro. Jesus.
Yes.
Cesaro might be...
You talk about number one? Yeah. It might be Cesaro, for sure.
Because he should have been at least in the title picture on several different occasions.
And he's been over on several different occasions, yes. Not just once.
Yes, exactly.
So I mean,
Rusev.
I was going to say Rusev.
Rusev was created... He had the Daniel Bryan treatment.
He did.
He had Rusev Day chance. They never gave it to him.
No, because they wanted the people to stop doing it.
Yeah.
In the crowd. They wanted the crowd to stop chanting Rusev Day. Yeah, I mean, that's five right there. Well, five or six right there. And we can go on. So, to announce this, coming up this week, because the year is coming to an end and the holidays are basically upon us at this point, we're going to be putting out our top 10 interviews, and the last 10 days of the year, we're going to release one a day, and what we believe is our best interviews.
What you have told us,
yes,
is our best interviews?
Absolutely.
By number of streams and downloads?
So we'll go back and forth, and we'll see which ones that is, and then put them all up starting actually this Saturday, the 21st.
Saturday the 21st, listen in for one of our replays. For our best of interviews edition.
Yes. So that will be coming at you very soon. So other than that, I think that about does it. And I don't think you'll be hearing from us until after the Christmas and Hanukkah holidays. So before we wrap up, we want to wish you Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
And also Happy Hanukkah.
We wish you a Happy Hanukkah.
Okay, No. Don't go into...
Put on your yarmulke. It's time for Hanukkah.
I'm not going to say any other holidays.
Have a happy, 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 happy Hanukkah.
If our songmaster didn't cover it, enjoy your holiday season and everyone in between. And we will be talking to you, look around maybe the 30th for another recorded show.
Yes. Look for it. Listen for it. I guess you can't really taste it.
No.
If you can, then shame on you.
We hope you enjoyed the show. We'll be talking to
Brotherly
you.
Brotherly Love Wrestling Podcast, the only podcast you can taste.
Very soon.
Later.
It was coming out of my mouth through Vince.